Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners. From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo in Washington, with the program that helps you learn American English. At the same time, we tell you about interesting or important things that are happening around the world.
Today, we have two stories for you. The first relates to an attack on Pakistani schools. Jonathan Evans tells us about the reaction in Pakistan to the threats of violence.
Then Anne Ball tells us about a university class that looks at two subjects that are not often discussed together, hip-hop music and the Christian religion. But first, Pakistan's response to the killing of over 150 people at a school last year.
News reports say Pakistani intelligence officials have captured a leader in the Taliban attack on a school in Peshawar. Officials say Taj Muhammad led the group that attacked the city's army public school last December. More than 150 people were killed in the raid. Most of the dead were children. Jonathan Evans reports.
Since December, there have been other attacks on Pakistani schools. In Karachi, attackers threw two small explosive devices and sent threatening letters at a school. Some students are responding with anger. They are planning ways to act on their feelings. Mohammed Arsalan is a student. He told VOA, "When we saw the students dying, we were very angry. We want to fight them." Another student, Hamad Zaman, said, "We can't attack them now because we are young. But when we complete our studies, we will join the army and attack them." Pakistani officials, however, cannot protect all of the thousands of schools in the country. So they are turning to other methods. One is to train teachers on using guns. Teachers at Peshawar's Frontier College for Women recently took a week-long class on using weapons. Law Professor Zaman says the teachers do not have to take the training, but they saw how brave the children were. This gave them courage to take the course. She said, "Self-defense is more important than anything else. Education comes later. Life comes first. These kids have boosted our courage. Nobody can forget the sacrifice that they have given." In the capital, Islamabad, school security guards are getting more training. The government asked schools to raise their walls and add barbed wire around their property. Children everywhere need to talk after a violent event. The head of one school, Shahida Khorsid, said students come to her with many questions.
Are we not going to come to schools if anything goes wrong again? Or our education is going to be stopped? And we are not going to be allowed to go outside? We are not going to have our field trips?
At a government school, the students plan to meet any future attack in their own way. "We'll save our friends first," says one boy. Another says, "I'll sit on the top of the building and fire at them." The boys say they are not afraid to come to school. Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai also survived an attack of the TPP. When she heard about the attack on children in Peshawar, she said, "My family and I are heartbroken. We should stand up together and fight against terrorism, and we should make sure every child gets safe and quality education." I'm Jonathan Evans.
I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to the VOA Learning English program, As It Is. The modern cultural movement called hip-hop might not seem to have much in common with religion. But two professors at Rice University in Houston, Texas, see a lot of similarities.
In fact, they have structured a popular class around hip-hop and religion. Ann Ball reports.
At first, it might seem strange to compare hip-hop music and religion, but Bernard Freeman, better known as the hip-hop rapper Bun B, disagrees. Listen to him on YouTube. Bun B says hip-hop and religion both deal with the basic questions of life.
Hip-hop asks the hard questions about life. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Who are we? And we use different lessons within the culture to help people deal with these things and help people try to find these answers.
Bun B developed the course on hip-hop and religion with Rice University religion professor Anthony Pinn. Professor Pinn says people have long expressed their faith through music. He says that throughout history, religions have supported the arts. The music that has moved people for centuries was created by and for the church, he says. Mr. Pinn also sees a similarity between Christianity and hip-hop. The Christian religion started as a small Jewish sect in a part of the Roman Empire, he says, and hip-hop developed partly as an answer to gang violence in New York.
Hip-hop culture, born within the context of urban decay from unlikely persons and personalities, goes on to transform how we describe, understand, and work within our world.
Raymond Cano and Dimitri Luke are Rice University students. They both took the hip-hop and religion course and found it rewarding and challenging. Raymond Cano says the class was worth the effort.
If you're passionate about learning and you're curious about it, and you're willing to put in the work, it's an amazing class.
Dimitri Luke says the class explores social and economic problems that students face today.
It's not as easy to get a job and to live the same like American dream that we've been living. And I think hip-hop questions that dream.
Both students say they also gained understanding and knowledge about religion and spirituality through the course. In the class, rapper Bun B talks to students about how hip-hop uses Christian signs and symbols within its culture. Now, Rice University is placing the course online. Students everywhere will be able to sign up, and they will explore the connections between the worldwide spread of hip-hop culture and the deep-rooted traditions of the world's religions. I'm Ann Ball.
I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Every week at this time, we tell about popular American words and expressions. Some of these are very old. Some are new. Together, they form the living speech of the American people. Today, we tell about the expression down to earth. Down to earth means being open and honest. It is easy to deal with someone who is down to earth. A person who is down to earth is a pleasure to find. He or she accepts other people as equals. A down-to-earth person is the opposite of someone who acts important or proud. Down-to-earth people could be important members of society, but they do not consider themselves to be better than others who are less important. They do not let their importance go to their heads. Someone who lets something go to his head feels he is better than others. He has a big head. A person who is filled with his own importance and pride is said to have his nose in the air. Often the person who has a big head and his nose in the air has no reason to feel better than others. He surely is the opposite of someone who is down to earth. Americans use another expression that is similar in some ways to down to earth. The expression is both feet on the ground. Someone with both feet on the ground is a person with a good understanding of reality. She has what is called common sense. She may have dreams, but she does not allow them to block her understanding of what is real. The opposite kind of person is one who has his head in the clouds. Someone with his head in the clouds is a person whose mind is not on what is happening in real life. Such a person may be called a daydreamer. Sometimes a person with his head in the clouds can be brought back to reality. Sharp words from a teacher, for example, can usually get a daydreaming student to put both feet on the ground. The person who is down to earth usually has both feet on the ground. But the opposite is not always true. Someone with both feet on the ground may not be as open and easy to deal with as someone who is down to earth. When we have both our feet firmly on the ground, and when we are down to earth, we do not have our noses in the air. We act honestly and openly to others. Our lives are like the ground below us, solid and strong.